Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Caracas, Venezuela for an overview of today's presidential election from Jennifer McCoy, the director of the Carter Center's Americas program, who previously monitored and observed elections in Venezuela, but under the new rules for this election is accompanying the election. With Hugo Chavez's hand-picked successor Nicolas Maduro comfortably ahead of Henrique Capriles in the polls, we will get a sense of how the election, described by many as free but unfair, is proceeding. Then we'll get a political analysis from the ground in Venezuela from Antonio Gonzalez, the president of the Southwest Voter Registration Education Project, who hosts a weekly radio show here at KPFK, The Strategy Session. We'll discuss today's voting and its likely outcome and get a flavor of the politics in this highly polarized country that recently experienced the death of its popular leader after 14 years of his Bolivarian revolutionary rule. Then finally, we'll look into the latest developments in the North Korean crisis that many expect will be inflamed further on the 101st anniversary of the birth of the founder of North Korea, Kim Il-sung, which falls on Monday, April the 15th, which is Sunday, April the 14th in the United States. Paul Carroll, the program director at the Plowshares Fund, which is dedicated to reducing the risk of nuclear conflict, joins us. We'll discuss Secretary of State John Kerry's call for dialogue with the North while warning Pyongyang it risks further isolation if threats continue. And joining us now from Caracas, Venezuela, is Jennifer McCoy, the director of the Carter Center's Americas program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. She currently directs the Carter Center's Friends of the Inter-American Democratic Charter Group and previously directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004. She's directed election monitoring projects for the Carter Center in Nicaragua, Panama, Mexico, Venezuela, Jamaica, and Peru. She's also edited and contributed to several books on the topics of Venezuelan democracy, the unraveling of representative democracy in Venezuela, and her latest, International Mediation in Venezuela. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jennifer McCoy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So where do things stand in terms of, it's been said in a lot of press stories I've been reading about the current elections underway in Venezuela, that the elections are free but unfair. What's your assessment?
Well, the October elections for president in 2012, we participated as an independent study mission and wrote an extensive report in which we identified and described the election process, which is very similar to this one today. They have a very comprehensive and advanced automated voting system. So it's electronic voting with touchscreen machines, and the entire system is automated. That's very advanced. And there are many tests and audits of that. Both the opposition and the government parties participate in those and have expressed their confidence in the voting system, that the vote is secret and that the vote is counted accurately. We will see tonight if they make the same conclusions after today, but so far people have expressed confidence in that system. The opposition expressed more complaints in October, and we've heard complaints this time about inequities in the campaign process, inequities in the level of financing, access to the media, et cetera. Partly that is because Venezuela is an exception in the hemisphere in Latin America that does not provide public finance for parties or campaigns. And so it's all private financing. And so that will depend on the capacity of each side to raise funds. They have made allegations that the government has in the past used state resources in ways that give it an unfair advantage. So we'll have to see after this election the conclusions about this process.
Well, the candidate running against the handpicked successor of Hugo Chavez, Capriles, he's complaining, saying that the race is not fair. The candidate of the government uses the presidential plane, all the military, all the ministries. Venezuela's oil company pays for the campaign, and all the state media is supporting Maduro. This is unconstitutional. As you know, Jennifer, the only private media that's left that hasn't been taken over by the government or co-opted by the government, Globovision, is going to be taken over by a friend of the government's soon. So is the opposition candidate correct in his assessment?
You know, we I have not been here as an election observer. We do not have an election observation mission that has been here for the entire campaign to measure and observe all of these conditions that Caprilich has been talking about. And we're not going to be able to make an assessment of the election process because of that. Venezuela invites international accompaniment instead of observation. They stopped inviting international observation in 2006. So therefore, I can't make a comprehensive assessment. The opposition has talked about all of those things that you mentioned. In terms of the media, there are more private stations, but the one that has been the most, has had the most opinion shows and has been the most vocal in terms of having critical voices on it has been sold. I don't know who the new owner is or what the new programming will look like because that transfer hasn't happened yet. We'll have to see what happens. But that is true that the most vocally critical television station is in the midst of changing ownership now.
Again, I'm speaking with Jennifer McCoy, who is the director of the Carter Center's Americas program and a political science professor at Georgia State University. She currently directs the Carter Center's Friends of the Inter-American Democratic Charter Group and previously directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela. She is now in Caracas, Venezuela. So let me get a sense then of you say that you're no longer monitoring the elections, and the last time that you were an official monitor was in 2006. What happened there prior to this? There was some discussion that you wouldn't be let in the first place, and then apparently that has changed a little bit. I believe former UM Ambassador Bill Richardson has met in the Miraflores Palace with Maduro. What exactly is your mandate then in Venezuela today on Election Day?
We are here to show international interest and attention to this process, international support to the Venezuelans as they go through this special moment in their history as they've switched from, as they are moving beyond the mandate of President Chavez for 14 years in power, and they're now electing their new leadership for the next period. So we wanted to demonstrate this international support for a peaceful process and for Venezuelans to be able to live together harmoniously and to work constructively to address their problems in the future. The role of international accompaniment, as defined by the Venezuelan Electoral Council, is to be here to witness the process, to learn about the process, to be able to share experience of the process with other interested international people, but it is not to evaluate or to judge the process. That's what they have decided to move beyond. Their explanation of that to us, that decision to change the mode, is for two reasons. One is that they feel like they have created the confidence with the political parties in the process, where all the political parties participate in the audits before the election, and have witnesses during the election, et cetera. And two, the second reason is because there is not equal reciprocity. For example, the United States does not invite international observers. Not all European countries invite international observers, and so they feel like that they do not need to invite international observation, particularly from those countries. So those are the reasons that they give for having changed their model.
So what is the mandate then of Ambassador Richardson, former UN Ambassador Bill Richardson, who is down there, I believe, representing the Organization of American States? He's been appointed as a special envoy?
Well, that's correct. The Secretary General of the OAS, as I understand it, asked him to be his special representative for these elections in this role of international accompaniment. The Secretary General was invited to send an accompaniment in this model that I described.
I see. So given that you're there to accompany, not to observe, is there any restraints on you then in terms of what if you see something that is egregious? How do you deal with that?
We would, communicate with one of the coordinators of the voting station who are here representing the Electoral Council communicate something that we might have seen. But the rules are that international accompaniments do not, delegations do not comment on the process or the results before the results are announced by the Election Council, which we expect will be later tonight. And then the international accompaniers can give their reflections, their recommendations for the future after that, starting tomorrow. I should mention as well that there is an organized mission of accompaniment, but it's a more organized mission of the UNASUR, which is the South American Union of Countries, which has about 40 people who are experts, election experts from the various countries in South America, who are deploying around the country in a more systematic fashion, which is closer to the model of election observation that we would do in other countries. But they have been here participating in the audits of the machines for the last couple of weeks and are witnessing the election around Election Day. But there's been no organized missions really focusing on the campaign conditions. So we probably will not have an international report on that, but there are national election observer organizations who are here, who number in the hundreds. Each one has about 500 people, and there are several of those organizations. So Venezuelans are serving as their own observers.
So Jennifer McCoy, just then in a general sense, what is the atmosphere in terms of this vote? Obviously, the country's gone through a major emotional trauma with their leader who is deeply beloved by the majority of the people, the mostly poor and working people in Venezuela, and often reviled by the rich and by the middle class. Apparently, it's one of the most polarized political countries in the world. And, of course, Capriles is the opposition leader who's running against Maduro, the successor of Hugo Chavez. He has lost fairly, by 10 points last time. And that I think the polls put him at about 10 points behind in this situation. So the factors that I understand that are at play in this election are that go against Maduro are inflation, the necessity of a black market, particularly with U.S. dollars, and a lot of basic foodstuffs and commodities, and the pervasive violence and the lack of security for citizens. But on the other side, what works in favor for Maduro is, one, the extraordinary emotional legacy of Hugo Chavez, given that he's his handpicked successor, and two, the Guardian did a piece recently showing how much the poor in that country have benefited from the tenure of Hugo Chavez. It's quite extraordinary how they've been risen out of poverty. So am I describing this atmosphere in a way that you could recognize?
Yes, exactly. I think that's exactly right. You have, I said, 14 years of government, of rule by an extremely charismatic and personalist president in the form of Hugo Chavez, who engendered a lot of strong devotion and emotion from his supporters, who felt like that they had been given visibility and a voice by him for the first time. And so there's a lot of emotion. There was a lot of emotion surrounding his death. The fact that he endorsed Maduro before he died is very important in this election, because people, his followers, will likely support Maduro because of that endorsement, and because they want to continue, those who believe they have benefited from and will benefit from this process that they're calling a revolutionary process, want that to continue. On the other side, there are a lot of problems in the country with services, public services, with crime, high crime rates, et cetera, shortages of food and electricity. And these are things that that whoever wins will have to address. These are things that are criticized by many people. So, but larger than that, there are different visions for the future of the country. So one is this more revolutionary process, and the other are the opposition, who say that they want to restore democratic rights that they feel have not been respected, restore more efficiency and more respect for the private sector, more efficiency to the government. They've been promoting these kinds of ideas. So the country has been polarized with these different visions and with really you know, extremely different levels of support or opposition to the government. And so the hope is that after this election, there will be the opportunity to begin to come together to at least agree on the basic rules, the minimum rules of rules of the game, and respect for the rights for all, and even while maintaining their differences on specific policies, specific strategies of development and public policy for the future. But we'll have to see how that plays out. Today, so far, what we see is really participation of both sides together in the same voting places. They are, you know, very civilized. The places that we have visited, obviously, we're only in a very few places around the country. We'll have to, you know, hear the reports from the whole country. But we see a lot of what they call convivencia aquí, which is the ability to live together, to work together, you know, among the common people.
So the polarization that resulted, from my understanding, in the Chavez era, the government released the electoral rolls on a compact disc, meaning that everybody in the country essentially could find out who their neighbors voted for, with names, addresses, and what their political affiliations and preferences were, and that this created a kind of tremendous pressure on neighbor to neighbor to vote for Chavez. So you're not describing that kind of polarization.
No, this was something that happened 8 years ago, and this was the publication of a list of people who signed petitions for a recall vote against the president. It was not, you know, the identification of the vote. The vote's always been secret. And so there was, you know, some recrimination against those people who had signed this petition to recall the president. But what we see is, yes, strong differences among many Venezuelans, let's say, on the vision or on the level of support for one party or the other. But there are a lot of Venezuelans who, in the middle, simply want to address the problems of their daily lives, want their leaders to come together to address that, and, you know, who do live and work together. So it is a politicized country. People do talk about politics a lot, but in within the political parties, there are very strong differences. People tend to be labeled easily as one side or the other, but in reality, there are many people, I think, who, you know, consider themselves what they call ni-ni, neither one side or the other, as well, in the middle, or who feel like they could live with both, and many who are on one side or the other, who do want the country to be able to work together to solve the problems.
Well, Jennifer McCoy, I thank you so much for joining us. I know you're very busy today, and I appreciate the time we were able to spend with you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jennifer McCoy, who's director of the Carter Center's Americas program. She's in Caracas, Venezuela. She's a political science professor at Georgia State University and currently directs the Carter Center's Friends of the Inter-American Democratic Charter Group and previously directed the Carter Center's Project on Mediation and Monitoring in Venezuela from 2002 to 2004. She directed election monitoring projects for the Carter Center in Nicaragua, Panama, Mexico, Venezuela, Jamaica, and Peru, and has also edited or contributed to several books on the topics of Venezuelan democracy, The Unraveling of Representative Democracy in Venezuela, and her latest, International Mediation in Venezuela. And we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back getting an on-the-ground political analysis from our own Antonio Gonzalez, who is in Caracas, Venezuela.
Mujer, hombres gentiles siempre hay mil.